Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You may be seated. I was talking about three things that excite my faith. But actually, I'm going to add a fourth one, which I can do that because the Bible said six things, then it said yea, even seven. So I've talked about three and yea, even four now. But I didn't quite get finished with the third one when I was talking about that. So I want to talk about, I talked about the first thing that excites my faith is the promise of his word. The second was the report of the Lord. And I was talking about when the devil comes in like a flood. When the devil comes in like a flood, it excites my faith. And I was talking about six things underneath that. And I got to the third one, which was recompense. I hope they don't mind me sharing that because they're sitting right here listening to me right now. But one of the great families of this church was talking about recompense. And at their bank, their accounts just disappeared. I don't know whether you've had that happen to you or not. I have had that happen. But I got it back in a matter of minutes. Castroville, Texas, they lost all their money. It was just gone. The whole city was gone, and they were able to get it back, but it took them a while. With computers and with scams and stuff, you can have money in the bank, and somebody touches one key, and it's gone. And so this family was telling me Thursday night that their money was gone. And it was gone for several weeks, maybe a few months. And they kept working on it, working on it. And finally, they got their money back, which was great. And then in a little while, they got their money back again. And when they went to the bank said, there's nothing we can do about it. It's just there. That's called recompense. You think God can't get you a blessing? You think that computers freak out God? I didn't know they was going to have computers. I just dealing with meal barrels and stuff. You think God's not tech savvy? Oh, God can use a computer to get a blessing to you. God can use any avenue to get a blessing to you. And so I was talking about the three things that excite me when the devil comes in like a flood. Number one, he saves me. Number two, I hear from the Lord. Number three, recompense. Let me hurry through these because I got one more big point I want to make and get started on. But number four is he will repay. That means that God is going to pay me what I never had. Not only is he going to recompense it, that's what I used to have coming back. God's going to give me stuff I ain't never had. When the devil comes in like a flood, the Lord is going to say, devil, not only can you not take what he's got, I'm giving what he had back, and now I'm giving him stuff that he's never had before. Some of you are getting ready for new territory. You're getting ready for new blessings. You're getting ready for new pastures. You're getting ready for new water. You're getting ready for a door you've never walked for. Praise God. And the fifth one, he said, when the devil comes in like a flood, he said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon me. That's anointing. And how many people realize that the anointing breaks the yoke every time? Every time. When the devil comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God is going to come on you and anoint you. And that yoke, that burden, that problem, that trial, that temptation, that onslaught, that attack, it is going to be broken because it's the yoke of the adversary. Somebody was telling me the other day about somebody's house burning down, and that person is away from God. They're not serving the Lord right now. They were raised in the church, and the house burned down, and so the Christian brother said, well, I guess they'll realize that God's going to do whatever it takes to get him back. He burnt their house down, and they're in the hospital with terrible blisters and all of that. No, 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 no. God didn't set their... You think God's an arsonist? Is that what you think? I wouldn't serve the God that some people serve for 5 minutes. He's an arsonist. He's contagious. He's the spreader of cancers. He's a causer of car wrecks. That ain't the God that I know. My God is good all the time. Every perfect and good gift cometh down from the Father. And so praise God. Not only is he going to recompense me, he's going to repay me, and that he's going to anoint me with the Spirit of God where it's going to break every yoke. And number six is the word of faith in my mouth shall not depart. The word of faith is nigh thee even in thy mouth. If you were not here Thursday night when Becky taught, it was absolutely awesome. She did not say anything that I did not know, and yet it excited my faith. I mean, it just, my faith level was just going up. She had it so rightly joined together. It was just awesome. But one of the things she said is, the number one voice you need to hear speaking the promises of God and the word of God is your own voice. Your own voice is more powerful than my voice. I can stand here and preach faith to you, and it does good. But if you will speak faith to yourself in your car and in your home, it will be more productive than what I speak to you. And so the word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. I've preached on that text so many times. But he said, say not who's going to bring God down. Say not who is going to bring Christ up. He said, the word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Friend, I want to tell you that you're not waiting for Jesus to appear. If you're saved and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was in Christ is now in you, and you need to learn to open your mouth, praise God, and speak it out. You know, I saw on Facebook this morning early, one of my preacher friends, he said, I'm sick and tired of whatever it was. I don't remember what it was. And when I hear a Christian say that anymore, I cringe. I don't have that phrase in my vocabulary anymore. I'm sick and tired. What that means is you want something to stop and something to start. So what you're trying to say is Alpha and Omega. But that's not a good way to phrase it. I'm sick and tired. Because I ain't sick and I ain't tired. I'm in divine health and I'm well rested. So why would I want my mouth to say I'm sick and tired? I'm neither. In one of our home ministries years ago, there was a guy who was going to give a prophecy, and he said, the Lord saith, I'm sick and tired. And Brother Tommy Knight, he's in heaven. He was over that home ministry, and he was a great brother. He said, whoa, 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 this is not God. The guy said, what? He said, stop. What you're going to say is not God. He said, how you know it's not? Because he said, you said, I am the Lord and I'm sick and tired. And he said, my God ain't sick or tired, so I don't want to hear what you're going to say because I know it's not from the Lord. Well, the Lord's not sick and the Lord's not tired and I'm not sick and I'm not tired. I'm healed, praise God. And so I want the word of faith to come out of my mouth in Jesus' name. Now let me get to the point that's really been in my spirit. Number four, there was only three, now there's four. My own obedience excites my faith. My own obedience excites my faith. Why? Because my obedience births my expectation. My friend Rod Parsley said, expectation is the breeding ground for a miracle. But it is my obedience that births expectation. Listen to this. If you take notes, write this down. Obedience births blessing. Obedience births blessing. Disobedience aborts the blessing. And it's not that you're pleasing the preacher. It's that in your spirit, you know, I've been obedient. And when you realize you've been obedient to the Word of God, your expectation soars. And you say, God is going to bless me because I have obeyed the word of God, and his word cannot return void. Let me go down to this real quick, and it's way down here in my notes, but I wanted you to get this because we just talk about it all the time, and it's about tithing and offering, but it's not just about, it's a principle. He says, bring all your tithes, so on and so forth. And he said, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So what he's talking about is obedience. And he said, if you will obey, he said, it will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. But he said, if not, and he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time. In other words, you won't abort what is about to happen. There's been so many times we've been so close to a miracle, so close to a job. Oh, I almost had that job. I didn't get it. Oh, I almost had this. I didn't get it. Almost, almost, almost. When you're almost and you don't get it, it's one of two things. Either God shut the door because it wasn't going to be good for you, or the second thing is that you were disobedient and the devil came in and caused the blessing to be aborted. Remember this. Disobedience aborts the blessing. Obedience births a blessing. And it builds up faith inside of you. Now let me go back to where I was talking. And we don't have time to go through all of this. But every one of you. Now this is for people that are really... You're not just here killing time. These are for people that are sincere, number one, about going to heaven. But number two, about sitting together in a heavenly place and having the blessings of God just overtake. The Bible talks about the blessings of God overtaking you. Just having the blessings of God overtake you. If you're serious about the blessings of God overtaking you, you ought to be extremely familiar with Deuteronomy chapter 29. You ought to know that verse. You ought to know that passage. Because the blessings of God are just amazing. Now you're going to find Baptist people and Pentecostal people and Catholic people and different Christian, they're going to teach you that the blessings are not for us, that you're not supposed to have wisdom, you're not supposed to prosper. You know that God makes you sick to teach you a lesson. If you want to buy into that, congratulations, you are with the majority of Christianity. But I'm with the minority of Christianity. I don't believe that God makes me sick. I don't believe that God slips around and steals from me while I'm sleeping. I don't believe that God sends hurricanes, tornadoes. I believe all of that is either time or chance or a direct attack of the devil. I believe that Deuteronomy 29 is mine, and 28 and 29 and 30. It's that whole passage. But look what he says. He said, blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Blessed shall be thy basket. Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in. Blessed be when thou goest. On and on and on. I don't have time to go through all of this. But you have to look at the very first part of this. The very first verse said, and it shall come to pass. How many people want it to come to pass? It shall come to pass if thou will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. We are all looking for the Lord to say when we die and go to heaven, what do you want him to say? Well done, not well said. A lot of people do a lot of talking. Talking is great. It's a great place to start. But you have to act on your words. When all is said and done, there's a lot more said than done. And so you need to do the commandments of the Lord. And friend, you've got to come to the place that I've come to in my life. And it's not an easy place. And that is that God is perfect. God's word is perfect. God's principles are perfect. And when it does not come to perfection in my life, guess what the problem is? It's four things. God, his principle, his word, and me. When it doesn't come to pass, it's me. And people don't like to accept the blame. Well, I guess it just wasn't the Lord's will. That's so easy to say. It takes all the blame off of you. I moved out of that. When I see a blessing and I know it's God's will for my life and it doesn't come to pass, I don't say it's not God's will. I don't say, well, the devil stopped it. I say, it's me. Somehow, I have not observed and do it done diligently his word. And so let me try again. Let me try again. If I don't succeed, I try again. Years ago, we were in a bowling alley here, four preachers. We're in a bowling alley. My brother-in-law and Brother Tuminella and the other preacher, which will remain anonymous. We were bowling, so we chose teams. And so the anonymous preacher and my brother-in-law took me and Brother Tuminella. We beat him. And so the anonymous preacher said to my brother-in-law, "You're pitiful. I want another partner." So he got Brother Tuminella as his partner. So me and my brother-in-law beat him again. So he said, "He's no good in." He said, "I want Steve, I want you to be my partner." So me and him took on those other two. We got beat. Finally, it dawned on him that he had loved the anonymous preacher, had lost every one of the games. He said, "Brethren, I owe you an apology. It's not you, it's me. I'm the problem here." Friend, that's what you've got to do with the problem. You can blame God if you want to, or you can blame God. Either one of those is a bad deal. You're saying God is a mean God, and so he's depriving me. Or you're saying the devil is greater. Both of those are bad choices. You got to accept the blame and say, "I'm not quite there yet." You know, the prophet could have got close to the brook Cherith and saw the ravens with the meat in their mouth and the bread in their mouth and said, "Well, you know, God doesn't know what he's doing." No, the Bible said he fed them. They had to get to the right place. And when he did, he got special delivery. You talk about DoorDash, way before DoorDash. I mean, it was there. He was delivered when he got to the place called there. Friend, I'm going to tell you, he will withhold no good thing from you. And so when you see the thing withheld from you, that means there's something wrong. And it ain't the devil, because he ain't big enough and he ain't bad enough. And it ain't God, because he's too perfect. It must be me. And so that's when I go to the Lord in prayer. That's when I begin to search the scripture. I don't know about you, but if you ever want to buy Pastor Beck and I something that has to be assembled, don't. They bought us a stereo cabinet or something one time. And Sister Beck and I was going to put it together. We started about 6 o'clock. At 3 o'clock in the morning, we're still trying to put that thing together. I don't like to assemble stuff. I always have a few parts left over. And I refuse to read the directions before I start. I'm not going to read the directions on how to do it. I'm going to read the directions after it didn't work, because I want to find out why it didn't work. It'd be so much simpler to read the directions first. I find I have that propensity in spiritual things. I'm just going to do it and it don't work. And then I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to search the scripture. If I'd pray first and get the principle first, I'd have an answer a whole lot sooner. But at least I go back and find out why it didn't work and don't just throw up my hands and quit like some people do. I'm going to make this thing work. God said I was to be blessed coming in and going out. God said I was to be blessed in the store. I was to be blessed in the field. God said I was to be healed. God said I was to have joy. God said I was to have peace. God said I was to be the overcomer. God said I was to be victorious. God said I was to have more than enough. Oh, the promise are yea and amen. And when they don't work in my life, I don't just quit and say, "Well, it must not be the will of God, or the devil's keeping me from it." No, I go back and say, "It's me, brethren. I don't know how to bow. I'm going to find out how to do that." And so what excites my faith is when I realize that I have conformed with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's working in my life. And when those things come together, I say, "Wow, get ready. Get ready. My ship's coming in. My miracle's going to happen. Praise God. It's getting ready to manifest for the glory of Almighty God. It's going to happen." But so many of us, let me talk about this in the last few minutes I've got here. The Achilles heel of faith. You know what that means? It means the weak point of faith. I say, faith has no weak point. Oh, yes, it does. Here's the problem with faith. unlike Twinkies, I've told you, I've quit eating sugar. And I feel, it's been about almost a month, I feel so much better. I feel better than I've felt in years. And unfortunately, that includes Twinkies and everything else that's good. I now have to eat corn tortillas. I like flour tortillas. Everything that's good, all the sugar, all the starch is gone. And I just go into the restaurant and say, bring me something that's not good. But unlike Twinkies, faith, and the Twinkies have it because they, you know that white cream in the middle of a Twinkie? That's formaldehyde. The same stuff they put in your body to preserve it when you die. Maybe not. Somebody told me that. But Twinkies have an amazing shelf life. I've had them around for months and open them, man, they're just as good. And I got Twinkies. I got leftover Twinkies. And they're just everywhere. You want my Twinkies? I've got a whole bunch of them. You can have them. After service, see me. I'll give you all my Twinkies because they are tempting me. Like Twinkies. Do you know that Twinkies can smile? Oh, they'll smile at you. Twinkies got a hand. Twinkies got a, oh, they will call you in. But Twinkies have an amazing shelf life. Faith has an extremely short shelf life. It's called flash faith. Kenneth Copeland's preaching, or Winston. Man, I love Winston. Winston preaches, and man, I mean, just at that moment, I just want to go out and find a devil and just beat him up. I mean, just that faith just surges. I felt like that the Thursday night with Baker's Tea. That faith just surges in you. It just surges. The word of faith. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. But the Bible said, when you hear the word, what does Satan do? It's in Matthew. Satan comes in when?
Immediately,
Brother Warren. This man right here knows something about God. Some of you feel that are new, some of you young people that are new in the Lord, you want to get a role model right there. Sits on that front seat. The word is immediately. When you hear the word of God, Satan comes in immediately to steal that word. If he doesn't, your faith will remain. But he gets you distracted and he steals that word so that faith. How many people have ever had a tire that had a slow leak? Just a slow leak. And then you say this, I'm not sure it's leaking at all. Maybe it was the weather. So I'm just going to pump it up. I'm not going to fix it. I'm just going to pump it up and see if it goes down again. And you're sitting right beside the tire place. And you're just going to pump it up and see if it goes down again. Well, it goes down again. It goes out about 50 miles out there in the country when you're not by the tire place. You should have had it fixed. It's got a leak in it. And so that's exactly what happened to your faith. A slow leak. Sometimes it's not too slow, immediately comes in. And so the shelf life of faith is not long. It's just not long. Satan comes in immediately. And so, like the lady from California, I told you the other day, she wrote me a letter. And she said, the church I go to, we don't hear no faith teaching. If I could come there, Pastor, if I could move to San Antonio and be in your church and be around you every day, she said, I could have faith. Now, you know that's not scriptural. God doesn't want you to have to be with somebody all the time to have faith. He wants you to have your own faith in every circumstance, every situation. But faith has a short shelf life. But there's a way where you can make your faith something that is constant in your life. I'll tell you about that next Sunday. I want you to build your faith. I want you to, so many of you have come so far. If you just look back, you say, wow, I've come a long ways. But don't let the long distance of your past deny you the journey that is in front of you, because it's going to get even better and bigger and more and increase in your life. And it doesn't matter whether you're 16 or 76. It doesn't matter. Faith does not care about the container's age. It just doesn't care. If you're young or you're old, you can be as old as Caleb or as young as David. But praise God, you can kill the giant and possess the mountain if you've got faith that remains. Would you stand on your feet, please? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're seeing so many miracles. You're not privy to the information that I am. But the emails and the personal testimonies and people stopping me, telling me about the miracles in their life. Friend, God is no respecter of person. And I don't understand all of this. I understand a lot of it. But 2 years ago this past January, I tore this tendon, quad tendon, totally in two. I go to the doctor's office. He's the Spurs sports doctor. I never seen him before. He's Becky's doctor. So I go in there and, you know, all he wants is a comedian for a doctor. He takes the x-rays and the MRI and he comes in and he says, just meet him in the room. There's no good news in this room for anybody but me. And then he just laughs. So now I've got Steve Harvey as a doctor. He said, I'm going to make a lot of money off of you, Pastor. I'm glad you got good insurance. He said, you got the worst leg injury there is. He said, broken bones, anything. That's the worst. But he said, I got Tony Parker back to 95%. He was 30 years old. But he said, I believe I'm going to get you back to 100%. Well, he lied. Get me back to 100%. He got me back to 75%. And then it just stopped. But something new has happened in this church. In the last 3 weeks, my leg started healing again. It's back to about 90% now. And Sister Chris, I'm 10% away from having a new leg.